We're going to sing another song in a few minutes together, and we're going to then sing one closing song tonight. But since you're in our backyard, and since families like to have chat around the fire, I'm going to lead in that chat, and we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. Not the holiday tomorrow, but the reality of what Thanksgiving means and why it's important. And if you'd like to follow along, you can turn in your Bibles that's in the pew there, or if you brought a Bible, to Romans chapter 1. It's on page 119 of the New Testament in the pew Bibles. We'll get there in a minute. You know, it's a wonderful thing to give thanks to God. And it's a reality that giving thanks is something that we were made to do. It's something that's very natural for us to do, is to give thanks to something and to someone. But I wonder what tonight we're thankful for. If I opened it up and asked you what you're thankful for, I'm sure we would get all kinds of things, and I'm sure all of them would be things we need to be thankful for, right? Facebook did a study last year, I guess those analysts of Facebook, about statuses and words that came up with great gratefulness and thanks to try to figure out what Facebook users were thankful for. And guess what? Well, let me give you the top 10 of them. There's friends, family, health, family and friends, job, husband, children, roof over my house, life, music. We would expect most of that, right? That's the top 10. But then they got a little bit more specific. And they decided what they would do is not by number of times, but the distinctive out of proportion number for each state of America. What was the thing that maybe it wasn't the most, but it was the most highlighted compared to everything else from that state? So guess what New Yorkers were most thankful for in terms of distinctiveness? Apartments. All right. So apartments. What do you think about Florida? Living near the beach. OK. California. You ready for this? YouTube. Okay. Texas, they like rain. Hawaii, rainbows. Iowa, sunset. Michigan, electricity. Pretty practical. New Hampshire, Netflix. It's a long winter. Vermont, Pinterest. I don't even know how to say that. I don't even know what it is. Pennsylvania, country music. Illinois, mother and father-in-law. So that must be a great place to live if you're a mother and father-in-law. There were other states that talked about being thankful for thunderstorms, freedom of speech, Google, the ocean, a sound mind. Now, obviously, some of those are more substantive than others, right? But there were some states, and since we're not in some kind of a battle of states here, I'm not going to name which. Some states were most thankful for salvation. Some were most thankful for God's forgiveness. Some for mercy. Some for God's love. You know, earlier I said it's a natural tendency for all of us to give thanks to someone or something. But what I didn't say, it's a natural tendency for us to give thanks to God. In fact, if there's a natural tendency, it's to not give thanks to God. We're all born people that, by nature, aren't thankful to God. We tend to have misplaced thankfulness. We tend to give our gratitude and our appreciation to everything and anything other than God. And so what I want to do is just for a few moments here is just read a text of Scripture and walk through it and just talk about this problem that we have, but then this wonderful hope that we have too. So if you want to follow along, we're going to read from verse 16 down through verse 23. This is what the Word of God says. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give what? Give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. What I want to do tonight is just to walk our way back from what we just read there, back to the hope and the good news. Look at verse 21. It says this, "For even though they knew God," talking about all human beings, even especially those that had none of God's revelation, all those that were outside of ever receiving any of God's word, but this is true of all of us, "even though they knew God, they did not honor Him or give thanks." So that's our problem. We don't honor God and we don't give Him thanks. We don't glorify Him, we don't praise Him, and we don't give Him the gratitude that He deserves. Why is this a problem? Well, we all know what it's like to see someone that we know, we respect, and we know that they, humanly speaking, deserve honor. And to see somebody not giving it to them, how does that make you feel? You're just like, it's not right, right? Well, can you think of anyone that deserves more honor than the one that made us? The one that is right now sustaining us? The one that has given us everything good that we've ever had? Every meal? Every relationship? Every sunset? Every moment of a glimpse of what really matters? He's the one that deserves all of our thanks and our praise. But the problem is, we're born into this world giving thanks and praise to everything but who? Everything and anyone but God. So, let me ask you, how do we know that God exists? And since we know God exists, that's why it's so sinful for us not to give thanks and honor to Him as God. How do we know that? Well, look at verse 21 again. "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations." So what happened when we don't give thanks? We become futile, we become darkened, we profess ourselves, verse 22, to be wise, but we're actually fools. We exchange the glory of God for what is not Him, and we worship everything and anything but Him. But why do we know God? "For even though we know God," why is that? Well, look at verse 19. "That which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." Why do we know God? Because God is Creator. And when we look at creation, the Bible teaches us that all of us, no matter what our theory of how we came into existence, know to some degree that God exists and that He's powerful. And we know that from creation. Every single human being, even the atheist that says they don't believe there's a God, they have somewhere in there and a knowledge of that that they've been covering over. The problem is, though, that this knowledge doesn't help us. Normally, knowledge is good, right? But actually, it's not good in the sense of the result. Look what it says. Verse 20 at the end there. "So that they are without what?" They're without excuse. So why is the knowledge that we get from creation, why does it leave us without excuse? Well, maybe you're someone, let's just give an example. Maybe you're someone who knows how to save someone's life. You know how to do it. But when it comes time to do it, you don't do it. Is that good knowledge to have? It's good knowledge to know how to save someone's life, right? But actually, that knowledge, because you didn't act on it, became a reason for your guilt, right? We have a knowledge of God from creation, but because we don't honor and give thanks to God as who He is, that knowledge actually becomes a heaping on of the guilt we already have. We're born into this world sinners. We have a sin nature given to us from Adam, our representative before God. And then we actually don't give thanks to God, even though we know He exists from creation. And that leaves us without excuse. You say, well, okay, well then what does that mean for us? Well, look at verse 18. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." What's the truth that all people suppress until God does something? That He exists and that He's powerful. You say, well, I know a lot of people that say God exists, but they don't necessarily believe in Jesus, right? But they believe in and how they want to believe about God, because they want to be in charge. All of us are people that want to be the king of our own lives, and so we make God in our own image. And we might say we worship God, but we're worshiping a figment of our own imagination, one that we can control, and one that we've made up. Reality is, we suppress the truth of God. All of us have suppressed the truth of God before God does something great in our lives. You say, well, what's going on there then? Well, look at verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed. So the problem is that we're suppressing the truth about God. We're not giving Him thanks. We're not honoring Him. And right now, the wrath of God is being revealed against all those who are suppressing that truth. Now, He's very merciful and He's gracious, and He doesn't carry out all the implications of that wrath yet. But the greatest evidence of His wrath right now is that according to His own timetable and His way, He actually sometimes gives people over to what they want. They want to live their life without Him being king. And so what does He do? In righteousness and justice, He gives people sometimes what they want. And what they want is actually destructive for them. Because we were made for God and to delight in Him. So the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. What does that mean? Everything that is not like who? Not like God. Now, how many of you are ungodly? I'll be the first one to say I am ungodly at times. And I'll be the first one to say that I was born in this world an ungodly sinner that had no hope, that God's wrath was I deserve God's wrath. But God did something, and He can do the same thing for you. And then it says His wrath is revealed against unrighteousness. Righteousness means something that we don't measure up, or unrighteous things means we don't measure up to a certain standard. Back in that day, if you went to the market to buy some produce, there'd be a scale, and on one side would be a weight. And it was supposed to conform to the king's standard of how much that weight was supposed to be. And if it did, it was a righteous weight, because it measured up to the standard. But if it didn't, it was an unrighteous weight. Why? Because that merchant is trying to take you to town and make some money off of you. He's going to say it's a different thing, and you don't get as much as what you're thinking you're getting, and you're paying for more than you're getting. It's an unrighteous weight. So God's wrath is revealed against all unrighteousness. His wrath is revealed against everything that doesn't measure up to the standard. What's the standard? God Himself. We don't measure up to God and His character. We deserve God's wrath. We deserve His judgment. Now, you think about wrath, and it's a pretty distasteful thing, isn't it, when you see it in someone's life, right? I mean, because it's just, I don't like that, right? But human sinful wrath is very different than God's wrath. God's wrath is a necessary response of who He is in His goodness toward our sin. If He didn't have that response, He wouldn't be good. So that's very different than an explosion, isn't it? It's a measured response of God's holiness against sin. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. So that's not a very good picture, is it? We're all unthankful. We're not honoring God. We're suppressing His truth. God's wrath is revealed against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. Well, where's the hope here, right? Well, the hope is in verse 16. Look at this. Well, starting in verse 15. So for my part, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. Paul says, I'm really excited to preach the gospel to the people he was writing to. Why? Well, number one, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. He wants to preach the gospel because he's unashamed of it. Number two, because the gospel is the power of God. He wants to preach the gospel because it's the power of God for what? The power of God unto salvation. What is the gospel? It's the good news that the Son of God left heaven, became like you, yet without sin, lived a perfect human life of honor and thankfulness to God in your place, and never suppressed the knowledge of God. Perfectly lived that out, went to the cross, and all of your unthankfulness and my ingratitude and all of our non-praising of God was placed upon Him, and the wrath of God that rightly is deserved by us forever was poured out upon Him in our place. And then 3 days later, just in case you wonder whether or not it was accepted and was real, Jesus rose from the dead. And He said He was going to do all of that. That's the gospel. And look what it says here. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. It's available to everyone who believes. To the Jew first and also the Greek. It doesn't matter what your ethnicity is. It just matters you need to understand that you're not thankful like you must be. And you're not honoring God like you must. You're not godly. You're not righteous. That you need to be saved. Look at verse 17. This is the third reason why Paul was glad and excited about preaching the gospel. Because the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. Verse 17. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. In other words, it's all by faith. The way ungodly, unrighteous people like us can have righteousness before God is all by what? Simple faith. Simple knowledge that Jesus died for you and He's the Son of God. Knowledge that He took all of your sin upon Himself. Knowledge that you can't save yourself. Knowledge that He rose again from the dead. Agreement with it, under all of that, and most importantly in all of that, is you actually trusting and relying in Him as your Savior. From faith to faith, the righteousness of God is revealed. The Bible teaches that when someone turns from their sin and trusts in Christ, not only is your sin debt forgiven, but righteousness is given. And now you go from infinitely in debt to God because of your sin against Him, an unendingly righteous God. You go from that unending debt to an unending gift of the very righteousness of Jesus Christ into your account before God. And you can be saved in a moment when you trust in Him. And then He starts making you righteous in your life. But you do not get saved because you make yourself righteous. That's impossible. Look what the last verse says, verse 17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by what? The righteous man shall live by faith. Maybe you've heard of the man Abraham. God gave him promises that all focused on and centered upon the coming of the Messiah, Jesus. And He said, look at the stars. I'm going to fulfill those promises like I've said. And the Bible says he believed and God credited it to him as righteousness. And then you can read the rest of Genesis and you can see that Abraham did not earn his salvation. Abraham was a messed up guy that God was changing to be more like him after he believed. It's all by grace. God justifies not the righteous but the unrighteous. Listen, if you think you're righteous, I'm sorry, there's no hope. The hope is understanding you're not. The hope is understanding that your only hope of righteousness is Jesus. Jesus came to save the sick, not the healthy. We're all sick, but the greatest evidence of our sickness is that we don't all know that we're sick. Maybe tonight you realize you're sick. Maybe you realize you haven't been given the thankfulness to God like you should and like you must. Well, the answer for you is that the gospel. And if you would turn from your sin tonight, acknowledge that you haven't given Him the thanks that He deserves at every moment of your life. Acknowledge that you haven't praised Him and honored Him and glorified Him like He must be honored and glorified. If you'll acknowledge that and you'll acknowledge that you need to turn from that and you don't want that and you want Christ and you trust in Him, then He will save you. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And you know what will happen over the next years? It will take years. Over the next years, after you're gifted righteousness, He's going to set up shop in your life and He's going to start changing you from the inside out. And eventually, more and more, you're going to be marked by thankfulness from your heart. Not just the people, not just the things, not just the people to do what you want. Or just the things that go the way you want. But you're going to be thankful for God. And who He is and what He does. in your life, whether the times are good or bad, and you're going to rejoice and honor Him for His plan, and one day you're going to be with Him forever and ever and ever, because God so loved the world that He sent His Son. He gave His Son that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So my encouragement to you, to us tonight, is this, twofold. One, if you're a believer, Thanksgiving is a reminder that God saved us from being ungrateful people. Wow, if we're saved from that, our lives ought to be displaying more and more thankfulness, right? And if you've never trusted Christ yet, there's not one person in here that could say, I'm a lost cause. There's no way that'll work for me. No. The more you understand you're a lost cause, the more you're ready to receive the gift of God's salvation. I want to invite you tonight to turn to Him and to truly have a really heart of thankfulness.